All right. While everyone is getting situated, I've got an introduction slide, and then I'll dismiss half of you. So there's no music this morning, no plea for what or urging of what we need to be doing the next three Sundays. You're stuck with me. So here's a little introduction for us, and I'll dismiss this. But Abram, I just got back from a week-long trip with my second son on a becoming a man trip. So he's becoming a man. He's entering into that stage. He's 13. And we went to the Atlanta area. And Abram, what are all the activities we did? Quick list. What were they? Because some of you here are yet to have a becoming a man. As a parent, you're going to have a becoming a man trip maybe. Some of you just got married and are thinking about having kids, and some of you aren't married, and some of you are 20 years past this stage. But nevertheless, Abram, what are all the things we did on our trip? Real quick.
We went zip lining.
It was awesome. 3 miles worth of zip lining. Yep.
We went mini golfing
a lot. Who won in mini golf? And that's really hard for me because, as some of you know, I have competitiveness in my map and who I am. And so Abram beating me in mini golf was actually demoralizing for me. But no, I tried my hardest, Eric. So Atlanta is the USA headquarters for Porsche. And I fly into Atlanta a lot for the travel, and so I fly out, and it's right by the airport, so I knew it was there. And so we got a tour of the place, and then Abram got to ride in a car around the track a couple times. It was pretty cool. What else?
We watched movies,
yep. The Man Who Knew Too Little, Bill Murray. Seen that one? I'd never seen that one. It's a good little flick. He said you love that movie? He kept saying, I'm from Des Moines. He works at Blockbuster in Des Moines is what he says. Okay, well, the reason I pull this up as well, another reason is to share with you the right-hand side of the screen. And again, our job on Sunday morning for our network is to equip you all. So again, we're all at different stages of our life, but I do want to share just a window into our family's way of becoming a man. What Abram didn't share with you is we, throughout all those things we did, we went through, I took this sheet of paper, and we talked through this sheet of paper for the 5 days that we were gone, in and out of the conversation. And I took a picture of it this is a barbecue joint. Abram, we forgot to tell him about how we ate barbecue. We were in the South. Abram loves barbecue. So we had a lot of barbecue, a lot of corn nuggets. Whew, those are good. Love corn nuggets. Had no idea we love corn nuggets. But let me read this and then I'll dismiss you. But here's some of the things. We actually, Leah and I made this sheet with John Hala years ago when our kids were just that tall. So here, from 0 to 6, our effort when developing Abram from 0 to 6 was you begin to learn who you are as an individual. You're unique and loved. You have great value to God, to us, and to the world. And you are fallen, which is why you need authority and discipline. From 0 to 6, we're just trying to do those things. So if you're 0 to 6 right now, Those are the things that, as parents and as a church family, we want for you. Our effort in developing from 6 to 12, our emphasis is on teaching you about being a family now. The family, the most basic and core structure of God's plan. Family is to love each other and to help everyone understand the core values of life, the basic stories of the faith. So from 6 to 12, that's what we were trying to do. 12 to 13 to 18, our emphasis is now on understanding the community of faith. You need to learn to be part of our church in a more real way, using your gifts and talents to help others and grow your mind. The things you now need to learn at this age are more complex. It's less black and white. The world is a lot less black and white when you enter into the stage of adulthood. And the world is full of people, it's complex, yet we can understand it with the foundation and the first principles, the principles of the faith. You can understand and live in this complex world in a wise way. You need to develop critical thinking skills. You're now at the stage of life where you're practicing being an adult. Mistakes will be made, and we will protect you from some, while other mistakes, you'll need to understand the consequences. But either way, we'll support and love you throughout them all. So we have then character development in this 13 to 18, faith development, and then education and life work. And Abram loved these. There's a handful in here that he really didn't want to talk about at all. Y'all can ask him which ones they were and speculate on your own. But let me read these now again, and then we'll be on our way. But character development, at 13, 18, we want you to begin a lifelong learning attitude. We want you to work hard, be honest, handle money well, understand home, wife, and children, begin working with people, your words, and understand conflict, work with the community, work with law authorities, developing skill in your life choices, understanding skill in romantic love and marriage. That could be one. Faith development, knowing the main story of the Bible, knowing the first principles of the faith, knowing how to work in the world, maintaining your faith, helping others solve problems in the world, keeping track of your author's intention statements, education and life work, become a better speaker, a better listener, a better writer, a better reader. Classical conversations work, that's the type of curriculum we're using in our schooling. And then begin to understand your place in the world. Is that a lot, Abram? You'd be surprised. Over 5 days, you come in and out of conversations naturally, and you come in and out of these conversations. And I just wanted to share that this morning, that was my wife and our plan, and we have tried our best. There's a lot of things on there, but it's nice. It's one sheet. You can talk through it, and I would encourage all of you to have something like that as you raise your own children. So, all right, that's it. You're dismissed. I am muted, I am muted, I am not muted, I am not muted. Hello, James Rindall. I'm not muted, thanks, Mike. Elijah, can you get me some water? Okay. I was thinking on the way home, we flew to Atlanta and flew back. We were flying back yesterday, and I thought, you know what? This is my last becoming a man trip, probably. I only had two boys, my second boys, I don't know. What's that? Yeah. Maybe. Julie says you can hire out. You can't really be a consultant dad. That's. Easier to do that in the business world, not in the parenting world. Maybe if they choose to take me along when they do a becoming a man trip with their son, maybe. I don't know, but otherwise it's going to be a while. Okay, well, good morning, everybody. Here's what we're going to do today. I'm going to do a little review, a couple slides on what we've done the last 6 months. And that's going to be on one slide, so not to worry, Isaac. It's not going to be 22 slides long review, just one slide review. And I really want to talk about the two prayers in the first section of Ephesians, because that's really captured my own heart and mind in the last couple months. So we're going to spend our time this morning looking at those two prayers, and then I want each table actually to write in their own words those two prayers. So that'll be that's what we'll get into today. That's our plan. So a couple housekeeping or family updates that I like to give us all. Again, in my own personal household, we have family meetings. My children love them, and I feel like this slide is a family meeting slide because it's stuff that we have to talk about. It's important, and if we don't talk about it, then the family can be have disunity. But we don't have Sunday morning meetings the next three Sundays. So just to make you aware of that, if you weren't aware yet. We have some upcoming meetings August 12th, so that's a full month from now. But 7 to 9 is the all leaders meeting. And it's a cluster reporting meeting. And there's a new template that Nancy will be getting you. So 7 to 9 is the time. Take note of that. There's an Apostolic team meeting after that. So as far as our budget's concerned, we're on week 27. Our plan for the budget was to have 246, and we've received 217. If you look at the three previous years, we've had 189, 202, and 198, respectively. So on one hand, I would tell you we're doing well. We're doing very well. When you compare it to other years, so we are ahead in that sense. That's the good news. The bad news is we're behind in the sense of needing to be at 246. So I think our family typical habit is that towards in December is when we play the catch-up game, not the condiment ketchup, but you know, the ketchup game tends to be our habit, and that's a habit we slowly want to break, if you will, because it's a little hard to do things when we play that ketchup game. So the next 3 weeks in particular, let's be faithful even to our giving, even though we're not meeting. So be faithful to that. We would still like to increase our budget. So, Don, this 247 is based off the old budget number. So, keep that in mind and keep shepherding that in your churches. Ultimately, money is a matter of the heart, and this is a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of whether we hit a particular data point or not. It's really about our heart's orientation. Because we get to participate in what God is doing. we have the privilege to participate in what he's doing. This is something that I talked to Abram about this week, and something that I, and consistently growing up on a farm at the time when it wasn't very profitable, we were always, I think we put some of our hope and our faith in money. And I can constantly have to rid myself of that in my own life. So that's an update on our finances. The Build Conference is in October 30 through November 8. I was going to tell you how many days away it is. Brian, how many days away is it? No idea. Okay, so it's the end of October, so it's coming up. So we had made commitments at the beginning of the year, February, March time frame, and 91K was the amount that we had said that we would pledge to give towards that. So we need, if you haven't started giving towards that, start thinking about that now. It's right around the corner, said Brian. So I urge you to be planning and thinking about that now. It's a very important conference, of course, every year for our global network family, and it's this year is going to be very important, just like every other year. So just let me dive into that conference just for a moment. We do have the general agenda for the conference set out for Wednesday through Wednesday anyway, October 30th through November 6th, I think that is. But here's the five things we're going to be doing. Here's our focus: our global family, our journey to become master craftsmen. And we're going to do these five things. We're going to roll out the full implementation pathway, which is more of the path on how to actually accomplish all these things that we talk about. We're going to have a second thing is we're going to have a complete set of tools on that pathway. So y'all know I'm in agriculture. I think of this as a toolbox, a big toolbox that has a whole bunch of drawers and has a whole bunch of tools for specific jobs in those drawers. So as you get to the Axe course, you open up the Axe course drawer and you have a set of tools to help you equip your people for in the establishment and expansion of the church as you're working in Acts. So it's just-in-time learning in the sense of you always have the tools that you need when you need them. And so that's the implementation pathway in a metaphor. It's a toolbox that has a whole bunch of drawers in it. And two is the actual tools themselves. Three, we're going to upload more competencies into the Build Cloud, earning green check marks so that they're going through the renewing of the mind process. Four, we're going to equip the associate faculty to do more validation. So as we get more green check marks in the cloud, we're going to have more people that need to be equipped in order to assess those. Steve, Randy, and Bill can't be the only people who do assessments in the world. We have to equip our hubs and our other people around the world in order to do that. And then five, and this will be quite new for us this year, we're going to celebrate and recognize people who have made it certain distance down the path. I'm really excited about this one. This is talk to me on November 9 on how it went. But we're going to pull people up front and recognize them if they've, we don't know exactly what levels yet, but because we're thinking at the smallest level, if they've done first principles, some of them, we're going to pull them up front and recognize them. And those that have done all the way, we're going to have maybe one or two that have completed their doctorate of ministry, we're going to pull them up front and they get to shake Stephen Kemp's hand and he gets to move the tassel to the other side or something. We won't have a tassel because we're not into that, but the idea is everything in between, at the end of each day, we're going to have some recognition system, recognition time. And I'm excited about that because I think it's going to spur people on to and encourage people to continue to work. So we'll see how that goes. Okay. Does anybody have any comments or questions on that? That's my way of saying I'm transitioning, by the way. Okay, here's what we've done the last 6 months. Here's the one slide. I want to get your head back into. What have we been doing on Sunday mornings? This is what we've been doing. We started the year off with planning our lives, our habits, our own story, actually, our timeline. Then our we get into our habits, our strategy to fulfill some of the things we want to do in our life. We picked up Paul's letters, and we picked up Ephesians in particular. Just started it there in the beginning of the year. We talked about rebuild and first principles assessment. Steve and Randy did that. Jeff jumped back into Colossians and Philemon. Bill gave us an update on global Bible translations. Jeff and I gave separate reports in a particular time on India, or the work going on in India and China. Caleb and Todd talked about Ephesians and Colossians. We talked about Envision Life, Nathan did. Then we had the Central Iowa Antioch Initiative with James, and then Jeff did Ephesians here more recently. So those are the things that we've gone through. When I read that, I took a deep breath and asked myself these questions here. I said, so what? So what? And I thought, what has impacted us, and the way you can get to the us part is you start with you individually, but what has impacted you so far from this Sunday morning teaching time? And for what did it further equip you for? For what did it further equip you? I'm not going to have you talk about these questions. I put up at the top of the screen, I entitled this slide Rhetorical Discussion Questions. But I do want you to be thinking about them. That's how I've made this time for this morning. These are the questions stirring in my head. So what that we did these things? So what? What's one or two things that stick out for you that in the last 6 months? And that item that you think about, how did it further root you? How did it further equip you? That's really what I'm chasing there. And then just a general question I was thinking about as I think about the last 6 months, and that is, why is it important that we continue to make progress in understanding the faith? Pretty basic question, but when you're with your 13-year-old son and talking about the faith, why do we have to keep making progress anyway? Doesn't it just get old at some point? Keith, doesn't it just get old at some point? Oh, okay. I mean, don't we just get tired of talking about being established at some point? Like, why do we need to keep making progress? So, here's another reminder for us. You all know all these things, and but I think it's important that we stop, we take a deep breath, we pause, and we say some of these things. Our Sunday evenings are the time for us for meeting as churches, as families, and we believe in this setting there's a connection between the you know that phrase? I reworded it here just a little bit, but we believe in this setting there's a connection between the sharing of a meal together, sharing our lives, and the expansion of the churches as people can more naturally participate. It's easy to invite people for dinner. And this is in the context of, we're talking about this in the context of the long term. We're not talking about in terms of weeks or months here. But as we have a meal, we share our lives in the expansion of the churches as people can more naturally participate, as they see us, and I got Ecclesiastes 3 in my mind when I started writing this, but as other people just naturally see us celebrate and mourn together, as they see us struggle and succeed together as they see us get married and get buried together, one of them together, one of them not together, and all together experiencing the hope of our lives in Christ. That's what our Sunday evenings are in essence about. The very nature of how we meet represents that, represents Christ, even through our marriage, our new marriages, and people getting buried, there's a hope that lives within us. We're celebrating our meal together. Sunday mornings are for equipping our churches. And what does equipping mean? We're rooting the principles deeper. We're preparing you to make and making you adequate for. If you look at this up in the Greek, what does equipping mean? It says to make oneself adequate. So you're making yourself adequate for your individual work, your church, your community, and the globe of which we participate, the world in which we live in. And then the apostolic team, this Sunday morning teaching time is for the creation of biblical tools. So we're making those tools. And it's for our apostolic team for our reports on letting you know and helping you participate in what's going on around the world. And then letting our own progress be made evident. So Timothy was instructed to let his progress be made evident. And so that's part of what this Sunday morning time is for as well. Okay, you already knew all those things, but it's important that we remind you of them. Okay. Those were the questions. What has impacted you so far in the Sunday morning teaching time? For what did it further equip you? And why is it important that we continue to make progress? So I'm gonna give you one sentence answers of my thoughts. This is my thoughts. I only have one sentence to say. So the ones that have impacted me in the last 6 months was the two prayers. Ephesians 1, 15 to 23, and Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. Those are the ones that have impacted me, and those are the prayers we're going to look a little bit more in depth at this morning. For what did it further equip you? I thought this was a good answer, and then I read it again this morning and thought, this actually doesn't answer the question. This is like one of those political debates where you just not really answer the question, but talk for a long time. What did it further equip me? Well, my prayer is that these prayers will penetrate my own heart, our church's heart, and our global network's heart. So that's a half answer, let's say. So it's a prayer based on a prayer. That's a good thing, but that's where my mind is that we really want these prayers to be us. We want these prayers to be us. We want to be these prayers. So I hope it's going to further equip us to help each other be these prayers. All right, three, why is it important? And I found myself talking to Abram this week, and you get the basic questions of life out of him. Like, and he asked questions like, well, you know what? Why the Bible? Why the Bible? And what do you? We've had people leave our church, and they basically are saying now they don't believe the Bible. Well, why? Why do we think we do? Just a book with some words in it. I'm reading the Great Gatsby. I'm going through some of the great books from Mortimer Adler right now and reading the Great Gatsby. What's so great about the Great Gatsby compared to the Bible? There's principles in the Great Gatsby. You can see them on Amazon Kindle. A lot of people underline them, and they show you everyone else's underlines if you want to see them. What's the difference? What's the big deal? We believe the biblical text says that establishment is critical to living a wise life. We believe the gospel and the teachings are an integrated whole, and we accept the good news and become established in the teachings. And we're also told to. We're also told to. And if we believe the biblical text to be true, and the biblical text tells us to become established over our lifetime, we should do it. Now, to some of our maps, I realize that third one. Some of you have given me grief through the years for saying that third one, but pretty biblical idea. Okay, so let's get into these prayers now. Ephesians, part of the middle letters. Really a key book for understanding all of Paul's letters, but these two prayers really outline, let me just follow it this way. When you look how this first literary section is, how Jeff parsed it up, let me show you the next slide, actually. So this you should be able to read this. No, I'm just kidding. You can't read this. That was a rhetorical statement. This gets you into how part of how I think about this is my own work. So when I see people do literary designs, literary divisions of the Bible, I go in and I try to highlight based on their divisions. So if you just look at this, in the bright yellow is the introduction, and then if you look over here on the, there's a therefore a prisoner of the Lord, that's Ephesians 4:1. This is Ephesians 4:1 through 5 on two sheets of paper with only verses, no chapters and no headings. And it can fit on two pages, you can read it. You can fit the whole book of Ephesians on three pages. It's not that long. It is 8 font, but you can read it if you hold it close enough to your face. But in the yellow, then, is the introduction to the literary sections. So the yellow marks the beginning and end of a section. And then if you look at the green highlights, those are the two prayers. And then in the light blue is the actual content that he's diving deeper into. So if you want to understand... If you want to understand, you need to understand what he's saying in the green in order to understand what he's saying in the blue, because the blue is he's going to do some deep diving into the ideas and the principles, but you're not going to be able to understand them if you don't know what's in the beginning and end of that section. Do you follow me? So that's one of my, I'm a visual person, I'm a visual learner, and I like to have some order. And so this really helps me. You got to do whatever's going to help you. Maybe this isn't going to help you, maybe it will, I don't know, but I need to let my progress be made evident. This is how I do it. This is how I do it. So then I come back here and I say, okay, there's an introduction. There's a first literary section. In that first literary section, there's a prayer. Then there's something about our calling. Then there's something about the mystery of the global church being revealed. Then there's a second prayer. And then there's a summary statement that summarizes and emphasizes for the reader, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, which he's referencing all the other paragraphs he had before that. So that's how I outline it. I do this first, and then I come back and I write it out in simplistic form. So my next step, let me jump to this one. My next step in understanding, trying to understand the biblical text. We believe the biblical text to be true, and now we want to read it and try to really understand it. We want to really understand it. So once that section is identified for us in these prayers, here's what I did. And here's my typical next step after that. Look at those and highlight or pull out or write down the key words or key phrases from that section, and in this case, just the prayer. Are you following me? So this is that first prayer. These are what I believe to be the key phrases, the key words. And then the next step I do is I put it into my own words. Because that way it's going to capture my mind more, because those are my words. It forces me, if you're forced to put it in your own words, you're taking another step up the ladder of understanding. So in my own words, I say the first prayer is about this, that the eyes of our hearts would be fully enlightened, knowing Christ and the hope to which he's called us, knowing the Spirit's power he has given us as Christ is head of the church. Those are my own words. So what I'm going to have you do in just a moment is at each of your tables, I'm going to have you take that prayer. And you can do it individually, you can do it collectively, I don't know, you can do it either way, but that's what I'm going to have you do. So let me go back, and this is the first prayer. Here's the Ephesians, here's what it says. And as Dia Staker says over text this week, she says, man, why does he write such long run-on sentences all the time? And I was going to text back to the whole group, church chat, just write it in your own words then, Dia. But I didn't think the snarkiness was going to come through in text message, so I didn't. But Ephesians 1, 15 to 23 says this, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of our heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which you've been called, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule. He's got all power. He's been given all power and all authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he's put all things under his feet and has made him head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And I will tell you all, if you meditate on this, if you try to put it in your own words, if you just go through some simple process, you want this for your church. You want this for us. You want this to be us. It's the third chapter, the second prayer, the end of this literary section, the green highlighted area, says this. This is the last prayer of that section. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family, you notice that? Every family, the Global Network family, every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with the power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you have the power to comprehend, to understand with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, so that you may be filled to the fullness of God. I see I missed a few things in my summary statement now that I read it. Now to him who by the power at work, you can tell that now he's doing like a doxology. Now to him who is able, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or even imagine. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So here's what I want you to do. Number two, at your tables, where's the instruction? There they are. 1 through 4. Here's what I want you to do at your tables. Read those prayers and discuss them. Step two, write out your keywords and phrases. Do that collectively, do that individually. A leader will show themselves at your table and decide how you want to do this. The third thing is then write out a summary in your own words. And the fourth thing I'd like you to do is I'd like you to share them with me. You don't have to, but I would like handfuls of you to share them with me, text them to me, airdrop them to me, somehow share them with me, and then that'll be our discussion up on the screen for our discussion time, okay? We want to understand these prayers because we want these prayers to be us. Question? Good? Make sense? Okay. All right, everyone. So let's see. I realized I walked around a little bit. I realized I should have given you just a little bit more leeway and explanation that this is your first stab at it. So this is just the first stab is good, doesn't need to be perfect. The other thing I realized is I didn't realize that I needed to tell you more about airdrop. So could everyone please just, Matt, would you be willing just to demonstrate briefly? So hold on, Matt, not yet. So everyone needs to, if you're concerned about or questioning what airdrop actually is, Matt is going to demonstrate for us. So Matt, go ahead and show us what airdrop is. That is exactly right. Just take something up in the air and drop it, and that's called airdrop. Thank you, Matt. That was very good. Okay, so see if I can get my phone. Don, this is a picture of Bean and Brian, this is bean plants and the nodulation of nitrogen on the bean roots. Very important to have this on the background of your screen. Aaron, you should appreciate this picture. So whatever on the background of your screen, you're in love with that, just so you know. I'm in love with bean nodulation. That could be a complex network, yes. Okay. Sam Schill, yes, Emmy smoked me. He sent me a picture of him racing Emmy down a water slide. Okay, Peter, would you like to go first? Could we get the microphone? I can read it for you if you wish. You want me to read it for you? So from their table, this is their summary of thank you, Isaac. Boy, this is going to get bad. Okay, evidently Isaac is coming up first. Okay, I guess we are going to switch to Isaac, because if I switch out of this, I don't know how. Isaac, you're first. Well, this is really janky.
So we decided early on that I have no eloquence in any of my writing. but we took a stab at summarizing this and said, I don't know if you know this, but Christ is kind of a big deal. He rules over the church in all ways. He is the authority. His prayer would be that would understand that there is a plan and purpose for that we are to be a part of it.
Uh-huh. That's good.
You want me to try the other one as well? Or?
Sure. I'll wait for it. Okay. Here, this is Ephesians 3:1 now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So God loves us more than we could ever comprehend. His love is tall, deep, and wide. Be encouraged. Work with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and be rooted in his love and strengthened in it. Glorify God for all generations via the vehicle known as the church.
Excellent. You can see. So can you tell us just briefly why you picked a few of the things you did? I've got a few questions, otherwise, Isaiah?
Man, you know, that's a great question. Let's see. I'll do at least one for you, and then I'll pass
okay.
it off. Kind of worked on this one by himself. So I'll just... I think it's important that we included the work with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and be rooted in his love and being strengthened by it, just because it's, I mean... pulled straight from it, you know, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the saints to grasp how tall, wide, and deep, and yeah, I don't know. That's a, yeah, I don't know, dude.
Okay, very good. There's four, he uses four dimensions in that prayer. Interestingly, he uses four dimensions. You kept it in three, no problem, but it is interesting that he used that. Isaac?
Oh, yeah, I was just... You know, some of the things that we were pulling out from it when we were just grabbing our key phrases.
Okay.
But this idea of being, love was mentioned multiple times, but this you know, rooted and grounded in love. I always forget how breadth is, so that's why I went down to three. But this, you know, this idea of comprehending with all the saints. So it's not just us as individuals, it's, you know, working
right.
within the church. Standing firm in it, and so there was some discussion about it's not just a idea of just head knowledge, but you know something that's you know going to keep us being
yep.
Tossed to and fro by the winds
over a lifetime. There's a standing firm. There's a rooting. Yeah.
You know,
yep.
And then there's this you know that again this wraps up kind of this idea of glorifying God through the church for all generations. So this isn't just for us during our own individual time. There's a multi-generational factor
yeah.
to this.
Excellent, Isaac. There's a meta-narrative that we get to participate in. Yeah, very good. Let's keep going. Peter, you're up. Let's go here. Unless Isaac texts me again. All right, so their table said this. Chapter 1, their abbreviation of it is to be fully enlightened to the knowledge of God, which enables us to access to his creative power. Very good. Why'd you use creative power? Can you help us with that one?
Because I was looking at verses 19 and 20.
Yep.
And it's talking about in accordance with the working of his strength, of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And I feel like that's exactly what he's getting at.
Uh-huh. Creative right power.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Very good. Chapter 3, then, the summary that you have is that we would be able to rise up to the fullness of God when founded on Christ's love and strengthened with the power of Christ's Spirit. That's a really good sentence. I like how you've used all the term, a lot of the key terms from the actual text itself. So you got fullness in there. Rise up seems to be your own, founded on Christ's love, strength and power, Christ's Spirit, all. When you take your first stab at things, you can go different directions, of course, because it's your own words. But in one of my particular habits is I try to use the key words from the actual text. Really good. Okay, who else we got? Monique from Amber. Amber, what do you got here? Would you like to share?
My notes are pretty simple here. But in the first one, I was mostly just like seeing and knowing God's plan. So really simply, to see God's glory. And then in the second one, we talked about the transformed life. For and by God, and then more of how the church actually works and how the people come together and the maturity of like spiritually and relationally with each other in the church so that we can live to glorify God. So the first one is seeing God's power, and then the second one is to have that within us and then to live to glorify God.
Huh. Okay, so the first prayer is about seeing, just being able to comprehend and see his power. And the second prayer you're saying is being transformed by it.
And
so that we could glorify him.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really good. Excellent. Okay. Let's go to Todd. Yours is an actual text, so yeah. I don't know what we texted about before, but I hope it was appropriate.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me turn it this way. There you go. There. Narrows it down. Todd and I have been known to share a few things over text.
All right. That our hearts would be enlightened to know and understand the fullness of God, whose power allows us to accomplish far more than we can imagine. As we do this, our churches will be rooted and experience the transformational power of the hope and riches we've inherited through the resurrection of Christ. So, kind of a meshing of chapters 1 and 3. But, yeah.
Okay. I was just going to ask, is this 1 and 3?
Yep.
Because enlightened is the second prayer, right?
Yep. It's in the first one.
Is it in the first one too?
Yep.
Is it the first one?
Yep. So yeah, that's kind of that first sentence ends up being more of the front part of chapter one, end of chapter three, and then kind of what is he trying to do as a result of it in the second sentence?
Excellent. Okay, 61:38. Who's that? Who dat? Molly. Do you want me to, you going to read it? You going to read it?
It doesn't really matter.
You read it then.
This is my own attempt at it. So the second prayer is that we can grow in understanding that Christ's love for us, grow deeper in our faith in order for Christ to dwell in our hearts, and understanding how vast, deep, and wide his love is. And then the first prayer is that the eyes of our heart be open to understanding the fullness of his power and the love and the riches of his glory.
Excellent. Can I ask you why you chose the words fast and deep?
Those are some of the words I took out of the passage. As I read them, I think they were written in a different way, like how wide it, how broad it. So I took that to be how wide, how deep his love is.
Fast and deep. Isaac, you were talking about how to, that it's just fascinating part to me that we would understand the breadth and the, NRSV I think says breadth, depth, height, and width. I mean, it's really trying to get at the whole, it's trying to say the whole thing, but it's trying to put it in some dimension at least that we can understand it in words. So fast and deep.
I know one thing that I always thought for it is density. Height,
density.
Width, breadth, and density.
And density.
Engineering.
Okay, who's next? Scroll down.
There you go. That's
got it.
All right. The first prayer. This is a summary from our tables work.
Okay.
I pray that all the churches will have the eyes of their hearts enlightened through the work of the Spirit so that we will walk in the hope of being his heirs. Mm. Then we will know his power, which is available to us, the same power that raised Jesus from death to the position of ultimate authority over the church and all creation for all time.
Thorough.
We have an engineer at our table.
Chad. Very
right.
Thorough.
And then the second one, I pray that the Spirit will strengthen, root, and establish the churches in love so that Christ will dwell in their hearts through faith. And I pray that they will have power to grasp and know the immense love of Christ so that they will be filled with the fullness of God. God is able to do more than we can ask or imagine through his church for his glory forever.
Mm-hmm. His church. And if we read that, why'd you include that?
Well, he's obviously talking to the churches, and it says right there in the passage, through the church.
Through the church, yeah. He uses lots of words, so. Anybody else? David?
Second one there. So I don't know if this is exactly following the summary statement, but this is trying to make it alive for our community as well. But our prayer is that we grasp with deep life-defining conviction our stabilizing identity, the fullness of God and our hope in Christ, and collectively experience the transformational power, which is resurrection power, at work in us, the church, through Christ and the Spirit, to the glory of God.
Stabilizing identity. Why'd you put that?
I think the idea of the hope comes up in the first prayer, and it talks about the eyes of our heart being enlightened. So when I was thinking about, you know, what does it mean to grasp something not just with your mind but also with your heart, just that would be something that would, you know, be at your core. So yeah, just for me that evoked that idea of stabilizing identity.
I'm going to take all of these, I think, and put them in one document. These are really good. Thanks, David. Zach.
Yeah, so this is just a...
Sorry.
No problem.
Is there pictures from the trip? Anybody want to see pictures from the trip?
An attempt to kind of summarize both the prayers. So
okay.
One, that a prayer that you would continue to exhibit your faith toward God and love toward each other, and that you may give that God may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation based on a firm understanding of God and his intentions toward us in the church, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know the hope of your calling, your riches, surpassing greatness, through developing a firm understanding of God's power, dominance over death, intention of the church, and view of the church as his body. And as you become enlightened, that God will grant you to be strengthened with power so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you'll be rooted and grounded in love, so God toward us and us toward God and others collectively, yeah, as the church, to be able to comprehend with all the saints collectively as a church the magnitude of God's love toward, right, us and the church, and ultimately be filled to all the fullness of God. Ultimately, to God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations.
Very good. Do you see all the different, do you see the way everyone chooses to do it a little bit differently? Some people like paragraphs, some people like bullet points, some people like napkins, some people like little notes, some people like to airdrop. There's all different ways, but yet this one's thorough, but this one would be harder to memorize or harder to maybe to keep, right? But it's very thorough. Excellent, Zach. In your table. Anyone else? No? All right. Then this is what we're going to do. I have a few final thoughts. Maybe. Okay. I've already said this, but we want our local church to be fully understand and embrace these prayers. I want us to be these prayers. And a few of you said that directly in your summary. So I ask that, I would encourage you, I guess we would encourage you to read and pray these prayers with your family. I would encourage you to read and pray them with your church. I would encourage you to memorize them. Even though Dia Staker has given us a little bit of heat in our church about about memorizing them. I'm joking a little bit there. And say them to yourself during the day while you're working. So I'm in the process of trying to memorize the second prayer. I'm trying to, and at the Build conference, I'm going to try to, maybe I'm going to not quite get there, but I'm going to try to do this, have them memorize one verse every day at the Build conference. And so by Thursday and Friday of the final day, we'll have the second prayer memorized as a global network. That's the thought. So we'll see if we're able to pull that off. But they're just such important prayers. So I have a few final comments before we leave for our 3 weeks of no Sunday morning. So this is some just reflections that combine my trip, the last 6 months, and these prayers into one kind of synthesis for us. When I was with Abram, one of the things I talked with him about is as you enter adulthood and become a man, things are simple when you're 0 to 12. Everything, it's simple. Stuff is simple. But as you enter into adulthood, complexities begin to emerge because you become more aware. And those complexities, you're going to swim in those complexities the rest of your life. And it's daunting at many times. And so when we visited the Porsche place, and you know, the detail, the amount of engineering detail that goes into that car, it's complex. It's really, really complex. And you dream about when you're a kid, oh, I'm going to invent something and be Bill Gates when I get old. It's going to be easy. No. And then you get older and you realize, man, this is complicated just getting your clothes on in the morning. I mean, geez. And then on the right-hand side, we did a geocache thing, and it's complicated. It's complicated to follow those darn instructions. Really complicated. It's a complex world. That's my point. We live in a complex world. And this caused me to reflect on my own 0 to 18. Because when you're with your son, and I'm trying to put myself in his shoes for a moment as best I can, I'm thinking, how is he going to... position is he taking this? How is he going to take this? So I realized with all of you in my leadership, I share a lot of things with you about my 0 to 18 years. I have a lot of nostalgia. I loved the farm. And so I often share with you about my grandma Cornelia, how we worked on the farm, how we worked in the fields, how she talked to me. She taught me about the things of life, things of the Bible, and how it shaped who I am. It really, really shaped me, who I am. It shaped my life work. I often talk about my dad. I talk about the stability that he had, his desire to work hard. He loved farm work, and farm work at the end of the day is meaningless. It really is. You're growing plants, for crying out loud. It's meaningless. But yet to have such value and meaning and enjoyment and take that in your life, it was something I really admired. And as I grow older, I admire more and more that he modeled Ecclesiastes 9, that at the end of the day, everything is vanity. But yet you enjoy your food, enjoy your drink, enjoy the wife with whom God gave you, and enjoy your work. So I appreciate that. His faithfulness and his continuous, steady love for my mother is things that shape me, things I think about. How I enjoyed working hard. I loved baling hay in the hot sun, stacking it high in the barn, then being able to go to the lake on the last hour of the day, ski with my other two, three sisters, all at the same time behind the boat if the 350 Chevy engine that my dad overhauled would work, and then eat watermelon. And it was wonderful. It was a great end to a great day of hard work. They shaped me. But here's what I came to realize. I'm growing up. Yeah. Yeah, I know. This is going to be a real revelation to most of you. It won't be. But I think even in the past couple years, I think I've grown up a lot. I've grown up. I'm growing up. All of us should be growing up. We should be growing up. And here's, as I look critically at my life, here's the things I don't share often. I don't speak often about how my grandmother suffered from chronic depression that was often destabilized her. Often destabilized her while she tried to take care of my handicapped father, or my grandfather. My grandfather was handicapped from the farm. He got caught in a power takeoff and he was paralyzed from his waist down. My grandmother took care of my grandfather for 30-some years of their marriage. But I don't talk about that much. And I think, well, why don't I? You know, I talk about the other stuff that's awesome about my grandma, so you all think maybe my grandma's some super saint, but she wasn't. She was a saint, but she struggled with depression. And I have bouts of that. And I wonder, and I go on and on about stories about how she had times where she was completely destabilized for weeks at a time, and she couldn't get back in. She couldn't get back in the game. I don't often talk about how my mother was deathly sick for my grades 4 through 6. Now you can notice this is centered on, you know, like I'm the center of the universe when I'm in 4th, 5th, and 6th grade, but that's how I actually remember it. I don't know how old I was. I don't always remember how old my parents were. But my mom was deathly sick for many years, my father was 41 years old. He was looking for nursing homes to put my mother into. And I really did not like my mother for a lot of years because she left us, was my opinion as a child. It took me a lot of years to get over that. Those things shaped me. My dad was ready to put a down payment on for a nursing home. He didn't know what else to do. There's a lot of back history, a lot of back context to that. But he came to the hospital. It was in Des Moines at Mercy. And my mom hadn't moved in months. She hadn't done anything in months. She was on a respirator, couldn't eat, couldn't breathe. Anyway, and she came in, and my dad was with her, and he started telling her that what he was going to do, and she squeezed his one little finger, squeezed his hand. So, you know, I don't talk about that a lot, but my father's love for my mother was stable. I often talk about working hard, but here's the reality about working hard. I didn't always like to work hard. I was a lazy little turd. There was a time, I remember, if I'm really serious, and I think about we had to walk beans. Now, most of you don't know what walking beans is. Okay, half of you do. You all have gray hairs on your head, but walking beans is a national Iowa pastime bill. And you didn't have chemicals, and so the beans were planted in rows. You walk between them, and you would pull the weeds by hand, or you'd have this long 4-foot hook, and it'd have a sharp curve at the end, and you'd sharpen it with in the shop, and then you would go down the row, and you'd go like that, and you would cut the weeds. And you did that all day. You walked for miles, and that was fun. And I hated it. I absolutely hated it. I thought it was absolute crime. If they would have had numbers to call for parent cruelty, I probably would have called them. But what I did instead was I sometimes did desperate things to get out of working. I remember jumping. So we would drive on gravel roads. Everyone would pile into the back of the pickup, and we would ride in the back down these dirty, dusty gravel roads for miles. My dad would drive 75 miles down these roads. Terrible, but we'd have our bean hooks in hand, like we were going to go riot. I remember jumping out of the back of that, putting the bean hook down, hooked up like this, and jumping on it. On my foot, it went through my shoe so that I didn't have to walk beans. Now, I also remember my father's response. My father took my shoe off. He said, "There's only a little bit of blood." I didn't like to work hard. Always. But let me go back here. Here's what I'm realizing. The world wasn't actually simpler then. It was complex. But my view of the world at that time was simpler because everyone else took care of the complexities for me. Y'all already know this, but if you can just realize, everyone else was taking care. I never worried about food, for example. I never did. Someone else worried about it, though. Our church, those years, my mother wasn't capable to, but my father never made a meal in years. My father didn't harvest his own corn for years because our neighbors, farmers, did it for us. We had people that took care of us. I mean, all those complexities, money, we barely had enough money to buy bean hooks. I mean, my dad was saving buttons so we could re-sew. I mean, what? Other people were taking care of the complexities. All the stresses and complexities of life, someone else took care of them. So here's what this brings me to is when I was a child, I thought like a child, I spoke like a child. But as we grow up, we put childish ways behind us. And it's good to think of those things, and it's good to reflect and have our timeline, but today, even today, when you think about our life and what we're talking about and understanding God's fullness, we can only see dimly now. We actually only see dimly now. And in time, at some point, we will see in full. And that's our hope. That's the hope that we hold on to. It's good to reflect. It's good to have fond memories. Yet we must press on towards the goal. Now is the time to step up, to be an impact for good on those around us, rooted in love, rooted in the Spirit, those in our families, our church families, and communities. This is all based on our individual and collective establishment in the gospel and her teachings, the Didache. Let's pray. Lord, we pause and we thank you for this time that we could have looking at the book of Ephesians, a letter that your leader, Paul, who you inspired to do your work, that he wrote to those leaders in Ephesus. And we thank you that church existed, those churches existed, that those leaders in those churches existed, because today we have that encouragement and those principles today. So we want to participate with you in your work. We want to participate in your church. Lord, we don't always get it right and we get off track. We don't always want to work hard and we sometimes... don't know how to love each other. So Lord, today we ask as we move forward that we would bow our knees to you, after which every name, every family receives its name on earth, that we would, our eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, that your Spirit would empower us as we try to comprehend the fullness of you, the breadth and the depth and the height and the width of your love. Lord, I pray that prayer for us individually. I pray that prayer for our church, our churches, and I pray for our global network as we stir amongst them. So we pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.